so many people to thank tonight. I feel like I usually save the Ribbono Shel Olam for last. I think we would all agree we should thank the Ribbono Shel Olam first. When I was talking to Eitan over the course of the last couple of weeks, we kept saying to each other, we just hope that this should be a big Kiddush Hashem. And Baruch Hashem, this is an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. That Jews should come together to feel like Jews, to prepare themselves for these awesome days. I want to thank Eitan. I want to thank all of the musicians who joined him to make this night so beautiful. I want to thank, of course, Rabbi Neuberger and Rabbi Cohen and the entire team from Beth Abraham for sponsoring tonight and for allowing this to be something that Eitan and I have dreamed about for a long time. I want to, of course, thank Keter Torah and Romer for opening their walls and then opening them some more. I want to thank my good friend Neil Bodner. For many, many years now, he's been schlepping the slichos to make sure that we all have something to daven from. And of course, he borrows them every year from TABC, so we thank TABC for being so kind to lend them to us. And I take acharias every year with Mr. P, for those who know Mr. P, to make sure the slichos get back. So please don't forget to return your slichos at the end of the evening. And of course, last but not least, I want to thank everyone in this room. Some of us have been doing this for 9 years. And that original some of us was about 40 guys in a basement in someone's home in Teaneck. And then it was 80. And then it was 100. And then we added the women's section. And then we were here 1 year. We were facing a different direction, but we were here 1 year with about 200 people. And then we moved to B'nai Yeshurun. And we grew and we grew. And Baruch Hashem, this is an unbelievable tzibur of Mevakshei Hashem. Jews who come together with one goal, to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam during these days. Some people see each other once a year at this Slichos gathering, and it's such an unbelievable Slichos to be a part of it. I was talking to someone who was saying, you know, every year it gets bigger, but Lav Dafka bigger is better. And there's a lot of truth to that. Some things in life are better when they're kept small and they're kept more intimate. But I was thinking that tonight, when it comes to tshuva, dafka in the context of tshuva, big numbers actually matter a lot. Gemara says in Yoma, Amar Reish Lakish, Gedol l'tshuva shezedonos nasalo kishkagos. Gemara says in the name of Reish Lakish, one of the great Bali tshuva of Klal Yisrael, great is tshuva that it turns averos that were done intentionally into shogig, something that was done by accident. And then Reish Lakish says, Gedol l'tshuva shezedonos nasalo kishkagos. Tshuva is so unbelievable that it takes averus that we did on purpose, willful rejection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and turns it into mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, which is it? Turns it into a shogeg, it turns it into a mitzvah. The Gemara says, it depends. Tshuva that's done out of yira, out of awe, out of fear, lowers the avera one inch. But tshuva that's done out of ahava, when tshuva is done with unbelievable love for a Kadosh Baruch Hu and for our fellow Jews, and all of a sudden, tshuva becomes a mitzvah. The aveira that you did on purpose becomes a mitzvah. Svarim talk about tshuva me'av as a level that seems, at times, unattainable. But I saw that Yismach Moshe, the Halakha Yismach Moshe says, in this coming week's parsha, in Parsha Sazinu, that tshuva berabim, that tshuva that's done with a lot of people, and rabim, by the way, in halacha means 10 people. Tshuva that's done with 10 people is automatically, tshuva berabim is already upgraded automatically to tshuva me'av. All the more so if it's 100 people, or 200 people, or 500 people, or 800 people. Tshuva berab, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and he says, look how Jews want to embrace the process of tshuva. The Jews want to come together to come back to me, and it's an amazing thing. To daven together, the way that we daven, we've davened for so many years now, many of us. It's not just large numbers, it's people with large hearts. It's coming together to daven b'kol ram. And it's a major, major tikkun. Because throughout the year, too many of us, let's be honest, they're davening a quick shacharis, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We're certainly not singing. And by doing that, we're not using our shuls the way they're supposed to be used. Rashi says in Maseches Brachos that the definition of a shul is a place shesham omrim hatzibur shiros v'tishbachos b'ni'imos kol arif. That we sing songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we sing the davening, we love the davening, we want the davening not to end 5 minutes earlier, but to go for 5 minutes longer. And that's certainly the feeling that we all have in this room tonight. But we sing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, we even dance. We even dance as true for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Nachum Breslover was one time, he was talking to Rav Moshe Breslover. And he said to him, Rav Moshe was saying to him, you know, Rav Nachum, I don't know, tshuva, it's so hard to reach. So he said, I'll give you a derech and tshuva. You want a derech and tshuva? I'll give you a mahalach and tshuva. He says, if you promise me to dance every day, you'll be able to be chozer b'tshuva. Sounds like a funny thing to some of us. But I think in the context of what we're doing tonight, I don't think it sounds funny or strange or, God forbid, something that's foreign to the Masorah. This is a derech and avodas Hashem. This is a derech and tshuva. Stuchina Rebbe, Shlita, had an amazing insight into a Zohar Kaddish. And I want to be very non-apologetic about the way that we daven tonight. Because every year there's always a couple of people who say, you know, this is not how I grew up, this is not the derech in certain yeshivas, and that's certainly true. And Eilu Ve'eilu Devei'el Kim Chaim. But the Stuchina Rebbe pointed to a Zohar Kaddish. The Zohar, trying to highlight the importance of Yiras Hashem, quotes a pasuk in Chabakuk. Hashem Shamati Shemachol Yoresi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I hear your name, I tremble. I heard your name and I feared. It says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, on that pasuk, Hashem Shemata Shemacha B'Yoresi, I heard your name and I was so afraid. It says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, however, Anan B'Chavivusa Talia Milsa. Rabbi Shimon said to his Talmidim, this was the way of Chabakuk, and it's a very holy thing. But that's not our thing. It doesn't work for us. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, we need to forge a different derech. Anan b'chavivusa talya milsa. The heavy-handed yira approach just doesn't work for so much of us. And the Stuchina Rebbe was medayik in the Zohar. He said, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was clearly saying that the derech of Chabakuk, which was Kodesh Kadashim, is not for us. And it doesn't work. And that's not chas v'shalom to say that yira shamayim is a forgotten thing. The opposite. Yira shamayim still has to be very real in our lives. But so does Avas Hashem. And so does feeling a certain warmth and a simcha in fulfilling the mitzvah of tshuva, just like simcha is necessary for any mitzvah. Halach es kam v'kam in the ichas of the Mashiach. For Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said it in his time, all the more so. We don't know what Yiras Shamayim is. We don't know how to feel that same awe, that trepidation, the stories of our bubbies and zadies fainting when they would just announce that Chodesh El is coming. These are fairy tales to us. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us a different derech. He's allowed us to find a way in Avodas Hashem to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this way. One of the signs, it says in the Mishnah, one of the signs of the end of days of the Ichas of the Mashiach is that Yirei Chet Yimasu, that God-fearing people are going to be despised. And I don't have to tell you that you look in the world today, there are many people who speak against anyone who believes in God on any level. And Kapshuto, Yirei Chet Yimasu, a God-fearing person is ridiculed by the world. But the Rebbe Reb Zusha said that Yirei Chet Yimasu can also be a positive thing. That there are going to be Jews who say, Hashem, we don't want to serve you out of Yirei anymore. Or we don't only want to serve you. That's a better way to say it. We don't only want to serve you out of Yirei anymore. We want to feel, not so much the Malkeinu, but we want to feel the Avinu Malkeinu. We want to feel the fact that you're our loving Father. We want to really believe in the Pasuk, Banu Matem, L'Hashem Elokecha. That it shouldn't be something far-fetched, something exaggerated, but it should be the metzias of our lives. Yirei Chet Yimasu. We don't want to serve you anymore just out of year. So of course, these are the Yom Nora. Yom Nora means awesome days. Days of Yira. And a person has to tremble before the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we can't for a second forget that these are also days of Yemei Rachem and Veratzon. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is excited that we're here tonight. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with us as we celebrate the mitzvah of tshuva. Of course with a sense of yira, but also with an unbelievable sense of gilu bira adda, like the Pasuk says, to tremble with the rejoicing. I'll give you a mashal just to help us to meditate upon this idea today. I saw in a sefer, imagine a parent carrying a child, imagine a father carrying his son on his shoulders on Simchas Torah. And he's dancing and he's dancing and he's wildly dancing. And he's so filled with Ava, he's so filled with Simcha, A genuine simcha shel Torah, which is what this is. And yet not for a second does he take his mind off the fact that if he's not careful, that if he gets carried away, if he loses himself in that excitement, then chas v'shalom, he could slip. He could harm his child. He could injure himself. That's what it means, v'gilu b'ra'adah. To dance and to sing and to rejoice with that degree of trepidation that these days demand. One of the strangest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world is the ability to forget. No one likes to forget. We're sometimes embarrassed when we forget things. God forbid you forget a close friend, a spouse, a relative's birthday, an anniversary. A person works hard to learn Torah, and then you forget. Medrash says that there's a very interesting bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into forgetfulness. Because if we didn't forget, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and says, you'd learn my Torah once, you'd learn through the Torah from beginning to end, you'd remember everything, and then you'd abandon my Torah to pursue other things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor that he allowed us to forget. That you learn that daf of Gemara in the morning, or you learn that pasuk of Chumash, and 10 minutes later you don't really remember if I even learned it at all. And that's a bracha in disguise. But Mordechai Gifter, Zatzal, who should be a hero to every single one of us, and who grew up in a way that was probably similar to many of us, in his younger years he was known as Max Gifter. He went on to study in the great yeshivas. He became a tremendous Talmud Chacham Rosh Yeshiva, a leader, and a clear voice for Klal Yisrael. Rav Gifter suffered from terrible memory loss towards the end of his life. 1987, Rav Gifter's youngest son, Yisrael, was getting married. And the family was so filled with simcha, they get in the car and they're traveling to the chasana. And on the way, all of a sudden Yisrael says, I forgot the ring. I left the ring at home. So they turn the car around and everyone heads back. And Yisrael runs inside to grab the ring for his beloved Kala to be. Rav Gifter's sitting in the car with his grandson, Tzvikala, and he turns to his grandson and he sees his grandfather, he sees tears streaming down his face. So his grandson says to him, Zayda, what's wrong? So Rav Gifter said the following. He said, anyone who knows understands that a Jewish wedding can take place as long as the chassan has something that's shava pruta to give to the kala. It doesn't matter if it's a ring or something else that's worth a pruta. I don't know if the women's section would feel comfortable getting something other than a ring, but the halacha says you can give anything that's shava pruta. So the fact that we forgot the ring doesn't really ruin the wedding. Rav Gifter said, he's sitting there with tears streaming down his face. Rav Gifter says, but just now I was thinking about a certain sugya, and I forgot a tosfos. And he said, tosfos can't be replaced. Forgetting Torah is a painful experience. It's a strange mixed bracha, this idea of forgetfulness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us. Rav Gifter, despite that pain of forgetting a tosfos, one time, one summer, one of the Talmidim came over to Rav Gifter in the Tells High School camp, learning program, and he asked his Rebbe a shaila. And Rav Gifter said, I can't help you. He said, Rebbe, why not? You can't help me with this piece of Gemara. He says, Rav Gifter said, by the time I get to the bottom of the daf, I've already forgotten what's written at the top of the daf. And this boy felt so embarrassed, felt terrible for his Rebbe. Rav Gifter looked at him with a smile, and Rav Gifter said, don't feel bad for me. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has caused it that this is my lot in the world. That's what Hashem wants for me, that I should learn and forget. So I'm going to keep learning, and I'll keep forgetting, and in that way I'll continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a strange bracha. This inyan of forgetting from the Kabbalah Ba'av, the way Rav Gifter did, is not a simple thing. When it comes to tshuva, forgetting is also a very, very interesting sugya. I want to learn together a piece from Rabbi Nachman, Sichos Haran, where Rabbi Nachman describes the bracha in the context of tshuva, forgetting. Eitz ala olam hashichacha tzincicho saran chavav. Eitz ala olam hashichacha hi chisaron gadol be'eneim. By the world, forgetting is seen as a terrible thing. You forget something. It's embarrassing. It's disappointing. You feel that you're not in control of the ideas that you want to maintain in your mind and in your heart. Aval be'ena yesh b'shichacha mayla gadola. But says Rabbi Nachman, if we have spiritual maturity, we understand that forgetting can sometimes be the biggest brach in the world. Because if we wouldn't forget some of the regrettable things we did this past year, and every single one of us feels that way, We wouldn't be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If my averos were right before my eyes, then I wouldn't be able to come here b'simcha. I'd only be able to come here sad, maybe even depressed. And that's not a derech in Avodas Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His kindness has given us a bracha that we forget, and it allows us to move on. And my zocher kol ma sha'over loy efshalo laherem is atzmo l'avodas ha'yizbarach b'shum ofan. If I wouldn't have the ability to forget, I'd be so embarrassed, I wouldn't even show up for the Amnorah. All the things that I've gone through, all the things that I've experienced, they would cause a tremendous bilbul. We wouldn't have a second of clarity in our Shemona Esrei. We wouldn't be able to utter a single word in the Amnorah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor, and He allowed us to become forgetful. He allowed us to forget our avers. And that's an unbelievable bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. But it's a double-edged sword. Because God forbid, we could become callous, we could become desensitized to the inyan of avers. Because it's not right before our eyes, some of the things that we did this past year that we should be so embarrassed of. Rav Kook writes, in the Shemona Kvatim, in Kovetz Vav, he says that a person has to try during these days to forget your avers, l'shem shamayim. To forget your averos and to focus on the good things about yourself, to be able to do tshuva, to be able to go on in your avodas Hashem. But forgetting is such a dangerous thing. Because if I forget my averos, and if I forget all the things that I'm embarrassed of, and I even do it l'shem shamayim, because our minds are so weak, and because we forget so easily, rachmana litzlan, a Jew could come to forget a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah is referred to as Yom Hazikaron. It's a time of remembering. It's a time where we have to focus on remembering, not forgetting. And obviously the Pashup Shad, the Pasuk says, Zichron Trua, it's a time to remember. Obviously the simple explanation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're reminding ourselves that Hashem remembers everything. That even the averos that we've forgotten, we're nervous, because now we're starting to remember again. We're forced to remember those averos that we want to forget. We remind ourselves that Hashem doesn't forget. The King of all kings doesn't forget. And we're embarrassed by that. And we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem says, I remember your averos. And I remember your mitzvot as well, but I remember your averos. And that feeling, that strange balance of remembering and forgetting can be very, very unsettling during these days. But I want to learn together a Rambam, which I understand in a whole new way this year. It caught my eye in a totally different way. And I want to think about this Rambam. Because when we refer to Rosh Hashanah as a Zichron Truah, when we call Rosh Hashanah Yom HaZikaron, and we remind ourselves that Hashem remembers everything, and we start to remember things that makes us terribly uncomfortable, that's very important, and that's part of the tshuva process. But let's learn a Rambam that I'm sure many of us have heard many, many times. And let's focus on two words that we've never really stopped to maybe think about before. The famous Rambam in the third paragraph of Hilchos Tshuva. Af al pi, shetiki ha-shofer Rosh Hashanah gzeras ha-kasav. Even though, if someone were to ask you why we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, it's simply because Hashem said so. Remez yeshvo. There's something more to it. Klomar, uru yeshein mishnasa. V'nerdamim hakitzu mitardemasa. Wake yourself up to do tshuva. Everyone knows this part of the Rambam. And the Rambam goes on, he says you should investigate your ways, and you should return in tshuva. But it's the next two words I want to think about. The shofar wakes us up. It gets us thinking, and that can be sometimes very uncomfortable. We start to make a cheshbon nefesh. We start to have feelings of tshuva. But then the Rambam says, v'zichru borachim. You remember, all of a sudden, you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You remember your Creator. Eilu ha-shokachim ha-se'emes behevel yezman. You start to realize, you start to remember the most important thing in your life, that maybe you forgot it. That you haven't been thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you start to realize, why did I do all those averos? Why did I make those regrettable decisions over the course of the whole year? How did I become one of these people that the Rambam describes as Hashokachim as Ha'emes V'Havli Azman? How did I forget to live a life of greater meaning? It's simply because I haven't been thinking about the Rabbanu Shalom. V'zichro barachim, remember your Creator and change your ways. Habitu l'nafsho seichem, look at your soul. V'yitivu darcheichem ma'al aleichem. Everyone focuses on that first part of the Rambam. But the shofar is a wake-up call. And we feel that. But the Rambam says it wakes us up to what? It wakes us up to tshuva. But the way that we wake up to tshuva, says the Rambam, is zichro barachim. Yom HaZikaron is about remembering the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yom HaZikaron is about realizing that when I do Averos, it's because my life is not filled with the Kodesh Baruch Hu the way that it's supposed to be. The Rambam in another famous passage, Eizo Yitshuva Gemura. What's the definition of complete tshuva? So the Rambam described, you're in that same situation where last time you totally messed up. You're in that same exact situation with that same person, and everything, all those feelings are just as intense as they were the first time. And the Rambam says, this time, the person controls his or her Yetzirah, and you make the right choice. And the Rambam says, that's tshuva gemura. But then the Rambam puts a pasuk. He says, this is what Shlomo HaMelech was talking about when he said, Uzchor es borecha bimei b'churosecha. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The Rambam brings us proof for tshuva gemura that, yes, you're remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's tshuva gemura. If you're just going to remember your Averos, I did this, or I didn't do this, I should have done this, that's not going to bring you to tshuva gemura. But when you remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you realize that a Jew has to live every second of his or her life thinking with an active connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not passive connection, through the performance of mitzvot or learning Torah or davening, but to be truly mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, Min azharos hatluyos b'lev. One of the mitzvot that's dependent upon our hearts, Yishamer lecha pentishvach as Hashem lekecha. It's a lo sase, one of the 613. Don't you dare forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a second. And Chazal say that any time it says Yishamer pen va'al, Yishamer lecha, it means it's one of the 613 mitzvot, a lo sase. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the third chelik of Shari Tshuva, in Os Chof Zayin, Huzharnu bazel liskor as Hashem Yisbach b'chol eis. We're commanded by this to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu every second of every day. B'chol eis, every second of every day. To the point that if I go a moment, if I do one activity in my life, and it sounds like a high level, but the truth is it should be a very easy level for us. If I go 1 second of my day without thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I make one choice without being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then I violated this lo sase. Hishamra lecha, guard yourself. Pentishkach as Hashem alokecha. Grandson of the Baal Shem Tov quotes in the devil, Degomachan Ephraim, an amazing shot in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk says, Ashrei Adam lo yachshav Hashem lo adam. The Pasuk shot is praiseworthy as the person who Hashem doesn't look at as a sinful individual. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh explained, Ashrei Adam, praiseworthy is the person lo yachshov Hashem, if he doesn't think about Hashem for a second, lo avon. He's disappointed in himself. He says, why am I not living with the Kodesh Baruch? Why is the Kodesh Baruch not part of my life the way that it's supposed to be? And then of course I understand why I made bad choices. Of course I understand how I did that avera. Because if I would have lived with the Kodesh Baruch, if Hashem would have been in the room with me at the time, then I never would have made that avera. I never would have made that choice. Rav Yerucham of Mir says, ki zechiras habore hi hakrocha dekulam. Remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That shouldn't be a strange thing for us. Living before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the krocha dekulabe, that's the thing that contains everything within it. I heard this past Pesach from an Adam Gadol. He said that when he was learning in Lakewood Yeshiva, he had a friend who came back one time after Yantiv, and his friend looked a little distraught, and he said to his friend, what's bothering you? He said, my grandmother, I never saw her like that. This past Yantam, my grandmother, by yester, she was a mess. So he asked his chavrusha, so what happened? What was with your grandmother? So he said, my grandmother, during the war, lost 11, he said he wasn't sure, 11, maybe 12 siblings. She was the only one who survived. And she said, every year, after that horrible experience, every time she would say yester, she would close her eyes and she would start picturing each of her siblings. All 11 or 12 of her siblings who were murdered on Kiddush Hashem. And his grandmother said to him, he said, that year, as I was going over the faces, the images of my siblings, she says, I was going from the oldest to the youngest. And she said, I got to my little baby sister. My little baby sister was brutally murdered by the Nazis in Auschwitz. And she says, I couldn't picture her face. I couldn't remember her. And she was so distraught because she understood that her sister only lived on, her existence was dependent upon her ability to remember her. And if she can't remember her, if she can't picture her in her mind, then Rachmana Litzlan, her sister doesn't exist anymore in this world. The same thing is exactly true with us in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we don't talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is also important, But if we don't talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we don't live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we're not Zocher, B'chol Eis, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, if we don't remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu every second, then God forbid HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in this world anymore. Says the Rambam, the shofar wakes us up, Zichru Barachem, remember your Creator. Forget your Averos and remember your Creator. There's a scene, a tshuva scene that I like to picture. It's based on a Torah from Rav Tzadok Kohen of Lublin, in his Sefer Machshavos Charot, in Ostes. Rav Tzadok believed so much in the ability of tshuva, the possibility of tshuva. Rav Tzadok believed that the Jew, who didn't show up tonight, the Jew is not interested, or so it seems in Yom Noram, not interested in anything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Jew who we love to label as off the derech, and we have to figure out what to do with them. Rav Tzadok believed that that Jew so badly wants to come back. This is what Rav Tzadok writes. Va'afilu osim, shalo ala belibam hirhurei tshuva b'shum pa. Even that Jew who seems like they've never had a hirhur tshuva, never once, not for a second, not mitoch hira, not mitoch ava, not with crying, not with nigunim, never thought once about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mikol makom, im yuvasum, if you tell that Jew, Mashiach ben David ba, if you announce to that Jew, I have good news, the Mashiach is here, ya'avada ya'aminu ve'yashuvu v'tshuva shleimu. They're waiting for someone to say, Mashiach's here. Mashiach's here, that person's going to come running. And our tzaddik says, va'afilu, osam ha'afikorsim. Even those Jews who go so far as to be labeled halachically as afikorsim. When they hear about rumors of Mashiach, they'll say, nah, it's not true. We don't believe in any of this. When that shofar blast, that sound of Mashiach's arrival, is resounding in the world, those Jews, says their son, are going to come mamashu run. Those Jews who not for a second looked like they were interested in anything, all of a sudden, zichro barachim, they're going to remember the Creator. When they hear that sound of the ultimate shofar, the Yitakam shofar gadol, they're going to come running back through Shalayim to join Klal Yisrael. 3 years ago, I read a story. And every year, for the last 3 years, I've been thinking about sharing it at Slichos. I guess it wasn't the right time. I want to share it with you now. There's an amazing Jew. I had the schus to meet him on a couple of occasions. Rabbi Zion Klatsko. Very involved in Kiruv. He lives in Muncie. In his Rebbetzin, their family, they do unbelievable things. He's the founder. He made a website many years ago, Shabbat.com. Thousands of people linking them up for Shabbos meals. People you would otherwise think wouldn't be interested. And every Shabbos, he and his wife, he and his Rebbetzin, they have many, many guests at their Shabbos table in their home. So it got to a point where he realized he needs to be able to provide more than just a Shabbos meal. He needs to provide a whole Shabbos experience in his home. So he wanted to have davening. So he needed to get a Sefer Torah. So he's trying to figure out, where am I going to get a Sefer Torah from? He sees an ad for a Sefer Torah for sale, $35,000. So he goes, he makes a few phone calls, he meets this fellow, middle-aged man, and he shows him this beautiful little Sefer Torah. He opens it up, the Ksav is magnificent. And he asks this fellow, not wearing a yarmulke, he asks him, where'd you get this Torah? So he said, the truth is the Torah goes back several hundred years in our family. He said, my father was a survivor of the war, European Jew. He was the Rav of a small kehillah, a dying kehillah in the Catskills. And after my father passed away, I inherited the Sefer Torah. And he says, ah, it doesn't mean anything to me. I couldn't connect with my European father. I couldn't connect with his belief, his religion. And now I'm ready to sell the Torah. So our classical begins to explain to him, I want to buy this Torah so that I can help Jews who are feeling disconnected to come back to the Creator. And this middle-aged man starts to cry. He says, Rabbi, if I would have had a rabbi like you, if someone would have taught me, I could see your kindness, your sweetness, your generosity. If I would have had a rabbi like you to show me, to introduce me to God the way that you're introducing these people to God, maybe I wouldn't have turned out this way. And he started to cry, and he said to Rav Klatsko, he said, I want you to take the Sefer Torah for free. Use this Torah to inspire people. Rav Klatsko said he needed to find an Arun for his Sefer Torah. And he sees another ad in the paper for Jewish Christian relics. Contacts the number. They send them a picture. They send them the picture of this little Aron. How is a perfect fit for his Sefer Torah? And he's looking at the picture. He's zooming in on the picture. And he sees on top of this little Aron is a cross. So he calls up the person. He asks him, what's the story with this? So he says it was a handcrafted piece, some Polish Jew. It fell into the hands of some Christian priest. And he figured, you know, now that we won, I'll put a cross on top. So our classical says, I see there's a little inscription at the bottom. Can you send me another picture of the inscription at the bottom? So he sends him back another picture. And he sees etched in to the bottom of this little iron with the cross on top. He sees the words, Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Klatsko says, whatever it takes, I need to own this. Makes the purchase, buys this arm, and he's thinking to himself, how appropriate, how beautiful, that the Sefer Torah that was once cherished by God-fearing Jews, and this beautiful little arm, handcrafted by a Yid in Poland, taken away by people who didn't respect Klal Yisrael, and didn't respect their God, and now all of a sudden it's coming back. He buys this little arm, and he breaks off the cross on top, and he houses his little Sefer Torah inside. He said one day he gets a call, right before the Yontif of Sukkos, a call from a woman. And she says, there's this girl, she's been in an abusive home for a long time, she's a real mess. We think you and your rabbitson would be able to connect with her. Can she stay by you for Sukkos? And this girl comes and she spends the entire Sukkos with the family. And Rabbi Klatsko said when she arrived at his door, this girl was a broken, broken person. She wouldn't make eye contact. She wouldn't talk to anyone, neither him, nor his wife, nor the guests. And slowly, slowly, over the course of the Yontif, all of a sudden, she started to smile a little bit, started to open up a little bit more. And by the end of Yontif, Rabbi Klatsko said to her, you know, you're a changed person. A complete transformation over the course of the Yontif. What happened? So she said to him the following. She said, when you told the story of the Sefer Torah and the Aron, I was very inspired. Every night when everyone was asleep, I tiptoed down the steps and approached the Aron Kodesh. I touched this beautiful crafted wood and cried to Hashem from the very depths of my heart. Please Hashem, I began. This Torah, which was lovingly written by a sofer, fell into the wrong hands and was lost. But you made sure it found its way back to a loving home in a proper place. And this Aron Kodesh, which was lovingly carved by a God-fearing carpenter, was spiritually abused by the priest. But you made sure that it too found its place and came home. Please help me as well. I was lovingly created by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I ended up in a place where I was mistreated and abused. I'm unloved and I have nobody who cares for me. But please help me find a place where I'll be loved and cherished like this little Sefer Torah and this little beautiful Aron. She said these nightly tefillos were cathartic. They cleansed me and cleared away some of the deep pain and agony. I felt hope that Hashem would help me in my situation. An unbelievable story. And that's really the story of a Jew coming back. That's the story of a Jew, Zichru Barach. What did she see in that Aron and that Torah that she felt so connected to? Hinei lo yanum v'lo yisham, etched into the bottom of that Aron. Ur yishenim yishenascha. Says the Rambam, Zichru Barach. But let's learn two more words in that Rambam. The Rambam says, Zichru Barachem, remember your Creator, habitu l'nafshosecha, and look into your soul. Because if we stop and think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a little piece of Himself to every single one of us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carved into each and every one of us a spark of Himself, then it shouldn't be so hard for us to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shouldn't be so hard for us to make those right choices. We go through life and we forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu means we forget about ourselves. We have no sense of who we're supposed to be. I want to share with you my favorite medrash. I know I've shared it many times with many of you. It's a medrash in Shir HaShir. Medrash says, imagine a king whose daughter is kidnapped at a young age, taken far away from the palace, and she grows up in a life that's totally unfit for a bas melech. One day the king is out in his caravan, he's driving along one of the main highways, and he looks up and he sees, in the distance, he sees a girl. He sees this young woman. And he screams to the driver, stop, stop the vehicle. The king gets out and walks over to this girl. And she's very nervous. She's seen pictures of the king before. She can't imagine what the king could possibly want from her. And he says to her, come with me. She thinks maybe I'm under arrest, shoplifting last week. I was spraying graffiti on the side of the trains. I was smoking behind the train tracks with my friends. And she doesn't know what's going on. And the king brings her back to his caravan and he says, young lady, you're my daughter. You're a princess. He says, you don't need to live a life picking food out of the garbage can. You don't need to live a life hanging out down by the train tracks with those people who are totally unbecoming for you. You're a princess. Come, come in. We're going back to the palace." And as she gets into the, as she gets in to the king's limousine or the king's carriage, all of her friends come up and they say, "We can't believe it. All these years we hung out with you." One of the chevra, with the ripped jeans and the tattoos and too many piercings, down by the train tracks. "We can't believe that you're a bas melech." And she says, "You think you're surprised? How do you think I feel? How do you think I feel knowing that I've gone so many years of my life, not even knowing who I am?" Says the Medrash, "Lo yadati nafshi." A person can go a long time with forgetting a Kaddish Baruch Hu and forgetting that spark of a Kaddish Baruch Hu inside of ourselves. Says the Medrash, "Klal Yisrael found themselves in Mitzrayim. 210 years. Trampled, beaten, abused, ridiculed. Until finally, Melech Malchei Melachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down from Shemayim, scoops up Klal Yisrael, and carries us off to marry him at Har Sinai. And the nations of the world can't make sense of it. We thought you were the lowest element of society." And Klal Yisrael turns back to the nations of the world as they're marching to Kabbalah Sator with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they say, you think you're surprised. How do you think we feel? But Yadati Nafshni, for so long we didn't realize who we were. A Jew sometimes forgets. We start to slip away. We're not connected, we're not mindful the way that we're supposed to be. But then we have these moments where we hear that sound of the shofar. Whether it's the shofar gadol, the Tzalik HaKohen of Lublin is describing, or the shofar that's not so gadol in size, but gadol in a different way, that we're all going to hear in a couple of days. Uru Yishen Mishinasim, wake ourselves up. Zichru Borachim, remember your Creator. He beat you L'Nafsho Seichim, look into your heart and soul. Remember who you are, understand who you are. Don't go a lifetime L'Yadati Nafsh, not knowing who you are. Don't let a Kodesh Baruch Hu be a stranger. I had a very painful conversation this past week. I was talking to a young and very passionate teacher, and she says to me that amongst many of her colleagues, she's the only one who ever talks about Hashem. She said, "I'm the only one who says Hashem. I'm the only one who says Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm the only one who says HaKadosh Baruch Hu." She says, "Everyone else says God." Is she right? God's a translation of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Hutner used to say, to hear of Aaron Cutler say the word Torah, it was a different thing. To hear the way he said it, and it was so alive, it was so real. And I think this teacher's right. When we talk about God as some theoretical being, some transcendent being somewhere in the sky who has nothing to do with us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not an Elohim Chayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not living on, that we're not remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we fall into those patterns of not knowing who we are, and making those terrible choices, and showing up during these days feeling like, I don't know, what does Hashem want from me? Is it so hard to talk like authentic Jews? To feel the way we feel tonight? Is that so hard to remember throughout the course of the year? I'm sure many of us know about the tragic story of Malki Klein. A young woman passed away in a very tragic way, had a very difficult life. Many articles have been written. I read that Malki, when she came back one time from California to New York, and she arrived at the airport and her father picked her up. It was an Arab Shabbos. And they're driving along, they're trying to make their way home. A lot of traffic on Arab Shabbos. It's getting closer and closer to Shabbos. So she says to her father, let's take the HOV lane. So her father says to her, "No, my sweet Malki, in California it's enough to have two people in order to go into the HOV lane. In New York you need three people to go into the HOV lane." So she looks at her father, this girl who went through so much, died in such a tragic way, but had such a deep emunah, more than many people who do a lot of mitzvos and learn a lot of Torah, say a lot of tefillos. But she was living with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And she said to her father, not some cutesy remark, something very deep and very real. She said, "Tati, we do have three. Me, you, and Hashem. We have three. It's not a joke. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in our car. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in our homes. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in our lives. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in our hearts." I think that teacher is right. We can't talk about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, again, in that sterile way, as if he doesn't even exist. So when we come to these days, Zichro Barach, remember your Creator. Look into your heart in a deep way. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers you. Because that's the Rebbe wrote. Kishe Isha Yisraeli Zocher Ba'Hashem Yisbarach. When a Jew remembers, when you hear the sound of the shofar and you remember what you're supposed to remember, which should be so natural to each and every one of us. Hashem Yisbarach Zocher Oso. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers you. We have to believe that it's possible to do tshuva. That it's possible to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A fellow came to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and he said, Rabbi, I'll never do tshuva. I'll never be able to do it. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, what are you talking about? He said, when we blow the shofar, we know that the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, the Malach HaMavis gets afraid. And why is the Satan afraid? He's afraid because we're going to maybe do tshuva. So he says, the Satan believes you're going to do tshuva. How can you not believe you're going to do tshuva? If the Satan believes we can do tshuva, so why don't we believe we can do tshuva? Why can't we wake ourselves up once and for all? Why do we slip in and out of consciousness, of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We can't ever give up on ourselves. We can't ever give up on our fellow Jews. We have to look at one another, and we have to say that spark of who we are is still alive and well. Remember who we are. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the greatest praise you can give a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the nicest thing? I said tonight's a big Kiddush Hashem. Yeah? Let's try to be like Malki Klein for a minute. Let's imagine a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, because he is. What's the nicest thing that we can say about a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There was a young man learning in Ger Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He said he was traveling, he was leaving Eretz Yisrael for a short period of time. And he didn't want to fall asleep, he didn't want to miss his flight, so he went to the Kotel to spend the night. And he got to the Kotel late at night, and he sees that the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, is by the Kotel. So he's davening, and the Rebbe comes over to him, he puts his hand on his shoulder, and the Rebbe asked him that question. He said, tell me, young man, what's the nicest thing, what's the greatest praise you can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I didn't know what to say. So the Rebbe says to him, the greatest praise you can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh. Hashem doesn't laugh. And the Rebbe walked away. No idea what the Rebbe was talking about. Went back to the yeshiva, the Pnei Menachem, who had become the sixth Ger Rebbe, was there in the yeshiva, he was the Rosh Yeshiva at the time. And he said, what did the Rebbe, what did the Beis Yisrael mean? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh. So he said, I'll tell you what the Rebbe meant. He said, imagine, I see a bachur in yeshiva, and he's acting in a way that's not, it's not covetic for Ben Torah. So I tell him, you need to change your ways. He says, Rebbe, I'll change my ways. Then I go back to yeshiva the next day, and I see he's doing the same thing. So I say, what's going on? I told you, you need to stop that behavior. He says, no, Rebbe, I'll change my ways. And then it happens a third day, and a fourth day, and a fifth day, and a sixth day. So the Rebbe says, at some point, when he says to me, no, Rebbe, I'm going to change, I'm going to laugh in his face. It's ridiculous. How many times are you going to keep promising me that you're going to change and not really change? Says the Beis Yisrael, the greatest praise we can say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh. Which means that tonight, as we try once again, Tavshin Ayin Ches, knocking on the door, Kedalim Karashim, as we say in the Slichos, begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let us in, Zichru Barachim, Hibitu Lenach Shoseichim, listen to that part inside of ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't laugh, that takes ourselves seriously, that believes in ourselves and believes in every single Jew. That not for a second do I look at a Jew and say, this Jew will never come back. The Radzimin Rav was one time approached by a person who said, I want Rebbe, I need you to put a klala on this Yid. He's the worst Jew. Rebbe says, what are you talking about? He says, I want you to put a curse on this Jew. He's Mechal Shabbos. He's Chametz on Pesach. He does Malach on Yom Kippur. He's a nobody. He's a worthless Jew. Rebbe, he's not even a Jew. Put a klala on him. And the Radzimin Rav said, there are 36 things that a person gets karis for. 36 things. A whole list. He says, and you listed a few of them, this Jew does. The Rechaim HaKadosh says that every time a person does something that he's chayav karis for, there's 36 strings that attach us to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you cut one string, and you cut another string, and you cut another string. This is what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said what the Mishnah says, the three things that you get karis for. Hamafatim es HaShemen, one who prepares the Shemen HaMishvah. Hamafatim es HaKetores, a person who tries to compound, to make the Ketores. Vasoch b'Shemen HaMishvah, and a person who anoints himself with Shemen HaMishvah. So the Adzimin Rav started screaming at this person. He said, did this Jew do these three things? Did he do these three things that your Chayav covers for? Did he make the Shemen HaMishvah? Did he anoint himself with Shemen HaMishvah? Did he make the Ketores? So if he still has three strings that he's attached to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then Achut HaMishulah Shalob B'Mehiri Yinati. And the strings that a three-ply cord is not so easily severed. Don't give up on a Jew. Don't laugh at ourselves and don't laugh at anyone else. So we say to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we're about to begin Slichos in just a minute, Habet Mishamayim Re'ei. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, like we say in Tachlin, look down upon us. 2,000 years of this long galus. Ki ayinu lag v'kelis v'gan. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, the world has been trying to get rid of us for a long time. Nechshav nu ketzon, la'tevach yuval, la'arog u'la'abed u'la'maku u'la'cherpa, u'v'chol zos. And despite everything that we've been through, 1900 plus years, u'v'chol zos shimcha lo shachachnu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we haven't forgotten you for a second. Even those moments where it looked like we weren't paying attention. Na tishkachenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't forget about us. I'll tell you one final story. After the war, where a group of Jews, young men, survivors, they were sitting on a Pesach night. And at the Seder, each one was telling his own story of his own salvation. And as they're sitting there, one of them says, I want to tell you my story. He says, I was in Auschwitz at the end of the war. The Russians were getting closer. We could hear the artillery. We could hear the bombing. We knew our freedom was only a couple of days away. And the Nazis, Yimach Shon, said, they'll never make it. You'll never be freed. We'll kill you before they get here. But as the Russians got closer and closer, as our freedom became more and more possible, the Nazis, one day, we woke up, the Nazis were gone. He says, I was sitting there in the barracks, it was freezing cold. And I left, and I went out to try to find something warm to wear. I snuck into the storehouse, and I saw a storehouse filled with Nazi uniforms. Nazi uniforms, hats, and coats, and warm boots. And I put them on to warm myself. He said, it wasn't long after that the Russians came to save each and every one of us. We were standing there, we were cheering, we were celebrating our freedom. And all of a sudden I felt a hand land on my shoulder and grab me. And I was picked up, and I was thrown into the back of a truck with a bunch of Nazis. They thought I was a Nazi because I was wearing this Nazi uniform. And I started to scream, Ich bin a Yid, Ich bin a Yid, I'm a Jew. And the Russians smacked me, threw me to the floor. They said, that's what they're all saying. The Nazis also, they were putting on the clothing of Nebuch, the poor Jews, to try to save their lives. And he's screaming, Ich bin a Yid, Ich bin a Yid, I'm a Jew, I'm a Jew. And there he is, traveling in the back of that truck, being taken away, being held captive, after all these years of longing for freedom. Can you imagine what was going on in his mind? Sitting in the back of that truck, surrounded by the rotschim, by the murderers, who probably killed his own family. He said they stuck him into some type of barracks, heavily guarded by Russian guards. He says, one night I'm peering through the window, and I look out through the window and I see the face of one Russian guard, and it looks like a Yiddish face, looks like a Jewish face. And I scream out the window, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And the guard stops, looks at me, and then he walks away. He said, 2 hours later, he came back, and after a couple of other questions, he set me free. And I thanked him profusely. I said, thank you so much. He said, don't thank me. Thank the Shema Yisrael. Thank the fact that we're still screaming Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. That if everything we've been through, Habei Mishamayim Re'ei, Rabbeinu Shalom, look down upon us. Shimcha lo shachachnu, we haven't forgotten your name. So as we enter into Tavshin Ayin Ches, as we enter into Tavshin Ayin Ches, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we remember you. We're here tonight and we're remembering you. Those times that it looked like we forgot, the only thing we're here to forget tonight is forget our avers. We're here to zichru barachem, v'yibitu l'nafsho seichem, to look deeply into our souls, to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come to us the same way he came to our ancestors. Pakod pakadati, as the Pasuk says, in Shemos Parak Gimel. Pakod pakadati is exactly gematria tafshin ayin ches. Pakod pakadati means HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers us. But it has to be with us remembering him first. Let's remember those words of the Pi Zetzel Rebbe. A person who zocher as Hashem is parach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is zocher as soul. Yitzhak Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of our tefillos, and we should all be zocher. Tafshin ayin ches, a year of pakod pakadati, should be a year of achsiv achsimatova for every one of us in Gan Zchal Yisrael.